The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Russ Williams with the no-repeat guarantee on Absolute Radio.
Hi there, good afternoon. Russ, the Rock Williams here, and we're going to start my section of our no-repeat guarantee with the Who and Who Are You? And the answer is my name is Russ, and today I've been working here for 20 years.
Russ.
Yes?
Happy 20 years.
Well, thank you.
How do you feel on a day like today? It's amazing. 20 years.
Dazed and confused. Been dazed and confused. When you were a kid, two great loves of yours, rock and roll, obviously, Gene, which has permeated your life and continues to do so, and comic book superheroes. And as the Kiss Empire continues to expand, you've got a comic book. You've got a golf course. You've got Kiss Minis.
The Kiss Empire stretches over 3,000 licensed products. Everything from condoms to caskets. We'll get you coming and we'll get you going.
This is Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio.
They are champions. 20 years of the Premier League. Manchester City Football Club. Congratulations from Rock and Roll Football.
Get an audience, you have to earn one, and you actually have to do good programs. You have to put some thought into it. And one day, John and David came up with the idea. Jono was doing the evening show. Why don't we put Russ and Jono together?
Yeah.
Well, if it hadn't have worked, I wouldn't have been here for a year, let alone 20. And we got lucky.
Russ and Jono in the morning, presenting you every day with a total brain overload. Don't miss it.
Stop that. It's silly. Russ and Jono in the morning. Good British radio.
Sting news. Our mate Sting. He's not really our mate, really. We just like to say it. Sound important. Very Sting important, is going to become the first Western musician to perform in Vietnam. That's unless the government agrees to release all the remaining prisoners.
They are live on stage. It is a world exclusive for the Absolute Radio Network and Hard Rock Calling. Enjoy. Bon Jovi.
Hello there, this is Russ Williams, and I recently met up with Steve Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith in a very posh hotel room in London. We chatted about their new album and all things Aerosmith. 150 million albums you guys have sold, which is an extraordinary amount of records. The biggest and most successful rock band in the United States of America. Does that surprise you?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that absolutely true?
It's absolutely true. How good to know.
Interesting.
You gotta love it.
Keith, thank you so much for sparing some time in this massively busy time for you. You know, the doommongers are wrong again. You're still going, and you guys are doing it better than ever. What is the secret?
Do you think I'd tell you?
I was hoping.
If there was one, I would definitely keep it to myself, but there isn't. That's the secret is there is no secret. It's just a bunch of guys that love what they do and still interested in where they can go. And that's really, I think, the secret.
I feel incredibly privileged that I have been here for 20 years because I've had an absolutely brilliant time here. But it hasn't really sunk in because, you know, I've come into work and I've done another show. I'm warming up.
Celebrating 20 years of Russ Williams at One Golden Square.
Absolute Radio.
Well, that's the unmistakable voice of Russ Williams now of Absolute Radio. I'm Trevor Dan, and I'm going to struggle for the next little while to compete simply in terms of voices.
No, you're not.
Just use that voice. Just say, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, you see. I'm struck
Trevor,
already.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us here at Absolute.
It's a
you're
pleasure.
You're celebrating your 20th anniversary.
That's
two
right.
decades on the air in this building.
Yes, in this very studio.
Now, there's a lot of DJs would like to pretend that they haven't possibly done 20 years because they're still really young, but you're prepared to admit that you've been at it for a long time.
Yeah, well, I've actually been at it for 30 years in August, 6 days a week. In commercial radio, they tell me, and I haven't checked, but it's very, very unusual, if not unique.
It is rare, isn't it?
Because at the BBC, as you know all too well, it is easy in many departments and on air to stay for an awful lot of years. For example, Ken Bruce, Terry Wogan, Steve Wright, you know, we go on and on and on. It's one of those things I don't actually know where the time's gone. It seems like yesterday that I walked into here and it was a building site. I mean, there was Tommy Vance wandering around. No, you're talking about voices, you know, going, where am I doing the dry runs? God bless him.
Did he bring cigars with him?
No, he didn't. He was still smoking cigarettes.
Right, because he'd come from GLR, hadn't he? He used to, when he was with us at GLR, he used to light these foul cheroots.
That would be the time, wouldn't it, when you were there?
Exactly,
of course.
Then, yeah, and he would set the the smoke alarms.
One thing he did say, he said, well, he would be now, God rest his soul, but he did say to me, he said, I'm not sure the headphones are loud enough. I might have to bring in an amp. I used to have one at Radio 1, you know. It was great. I'll tell you a very funny story about Richard Skinner was the programme director, as you know, with John Revel, joint programme director, which never quite works. And sure enough, it didn't. Richard went back on the air and John did his thing. Tommy was on the Drive Time show. And you know Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer? Well, at the beginning, before, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, there's this sort of little panpipe to go... And then he goes, da 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 da. Tommy wouldn't cue it in. And Richard's going, I remember Richard's going to come out and say, Tommy, can you cue that in? You can't hear that on AM very well. And he said, I play the records the way they were recorded. And he did. He was good at it.
So you came in to launch Virgin Radio.
Yes.
Now that was... it was a very unusual station at its time, and as I recall, largely because you took a lot of my old staff, it was full of very exciting, creative people.
It was. Kevin Greening was here with Eric the Gardener in the afternoon. Kevin was a great broadcaster and a really great bloke, and obviously what happened was tragic. We had Chris Watmo, who was my first producer. He's no longer with us. Tommy, I've mentioned.
What shift were you on when Virgin started?
Well,
then?
I was hired to do the afternoon show between 1 and 4, and I'd been at Capital for 3 years, and I got a phone call from John Revel about 2 weeks before launch. He said, hello, Russ. He said, it's John Revel here. I said, hello, John, how are you? He said, have you got an alarm clock? I said, what do you mean? He said, we want you to do the breakfast show. So I never got to do afternoons, and I did the breakfast show, and very shortly after we started, Jono turned up and we got lucky.
Now, putting together double acts is really, really hard.
Yes.
As kind of programme directors and producers, we've always thought, oh, that person will work with that person, and then it doesn't, but then two other people you don't think will work.
Yeah.
Did you know when you first met Jono that there was going to be some chemistry?
No, I didn't have a clue at all, really, because, you know, he was a plastic Aussie, as I, you know, he used to say, I'm Australian, mate, but he was born in this country, he was a £10 pom. And so I think the banter got us going, really, more than anything else. And of course, he's got a good sense of humour, as have I, and we were different enough not to sound like we loved the same things. And, you know, we'd argue and bicker occasionally, but we had the same idea because Jono was very experienced in Australia in breakfast radio with Jono and Dano and what.
Well, exactly. He'd had another sidekick there.
He needs a sidekick. Mm. You know, and he would openly admit that. It's very difficult to do primetime radio, particularly breakfast radio, on your own. I mean, look at Steve Wright at Radio 1. A great broadcaster, but it just didn't work at breakfast in the way that it did for Simon Mayo or Mike Reed or Noel Edmonds for some reason. And Jono is one of those people who does need somebody with him, and I think he's still got somebody. I think it might be Dano, actually, in Australia.
Is he back with him?
Yes. They've got remarried. So, I mean, it was just one of those things, Trevor, really, that worked. And, you know, a lot of people seemed to like the show. We won the awards and what have you. A lot of people didn't like it. You know, still see occasional forums, oh, Russ and John, I hated them, they were crap. And other people, you know, passionately stick up for us. But that's the great thing, isn't it? You can be Marmite, really, on the radio. And I think the best broadcasters that I can think of are, a lot of them are Marmite.
How do you deal and how have you dealt for all these years with that slightly split world that you have of being on the one hand a London broadcaster on an FM station.
Yes.
And on the other hand, being a national broadcaster, first on AM, later on DAB as well.
Yeah.
And online and all the rest of it with Absolute. So does that give you a kind of split focus when you're on air?
No, it didn't. There was a period of time, going back to sort of 6 or 7 years into Virgin Radio, when we'd got the FM licence, that the bosses thought it was very important to reflect on FM what was going on in London. So there would be certain links in the hour that you would be required to do an AM link and an FM link. So your FM link would be, I was walking down Oxford Street yesterday, you never guess what I saw, blah, blah, or whatever. Or I was at White Hart Lane and Spurs were rubbish or they were great, whatever. You had to sort of Londonise things, but that went out the window for some reason very quickly. I mean, I personally think that when I open this little thing here, that it's just a person. It doesn't matter to me whether they're in Clapham or Chester, really. I mean, I've never really thought about it.
What changed for you when Absolute took over from Virgin?
Nothing. Nothing. At all. Clive came in and said, well, I want you to stay. That's kind of how he sounds, Clive. And I said, well, I'll be delighted to stay. I mean, I think I did wonder whether I would. But Christian stayed on The Breakfast Show, and he's still here, of course, doing a great job. And Jeff stayed. And I think when you take over a brand, you have to be careful not to decimate it. I was talking to a friend of mine who recently has lost his job and in the radio industry, and her name's Nopak Drill, and he said to me, the thing is that when any radio station gets taken over, the DJs usually get the contracts wound down and then somebody else comes in.
I was going to say, that's exactly what happens, isn't it?
Yes.
You feel if the board changes that the schedule will change.
Good night, Vienna.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's happening, let's face it, a lot in this industry at the moment.
Oh, incredible.
You must know people, you just mentioned one, but we all know people who've worked very hard and have had long careers and must have thought they were going on for ages, and suddenly they're on the scrap heap. Do you feel that kind of tension yourself?
I used to, and I guess I do a little bit, because you're only as good as your current contract, aren't you? I mean, like many people in this industry, I'm a freelancer, and if somebody decides that they don't want to extend your contract, you've got to find another job. But I've never really let it worry me. When I was at Capital, it used to worry me more, because there was an atmosphere at Capital where it was extremely competitive.
Well, there was Richard, wasn't there?
Yeah, and Richard was brilliant and remains to be brilliant, one of the greatest commercial radio programmers, if not the greatest that we've ever had. But the way that he ran Capital Radio, rather like Graham Souness would a football team as the manager, you know. Even if you did well, you'd be told that you could do better, you know. And that was the way that he operated. And so I think that a culture of sort of semi-fear or uncertainty, although good in a way, it can also be very negative. And that's something that really hasn't been here that I've felt over the years. I mean, I was told once, well, you might have to think about something else. I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, we've got a new program director coming in and I don't know what they want to do. I said, well, are you telling me that they told you that? Oh, no, I'm just guessing. And in fact, that was Paul Jackson who came in here.
Surprise, surprise.
And on the first day that he was here, he said, after the show, he said, should we just pop out for a bit of lunch? And there used to be a Chinese restaurant around on Beak Street called The Rendezvous. Very good it was, but it's closed now. And he took me in there and I thought, well, this is the conversation, you know, da, 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 da. And he bought a beer and he gave me a beer and he said, well, I want you to stay. And actually, he was brilliant to me, and I think he was one of the best PDs we ever had.
It's the Radio Today programme in association with Audio Boo, and we'll be back talking to Russ Williams at Absolute Radio after this week's news from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
And here's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. How to create a 24-hour breakfast show. Capital FM's Simon Hurst and producer Scott Myers will explain exactly how at Jockfest in a couple of weeks' time. But today, Scott writes a fantastic insight into the seminar that he and Simon will present to a room full of producers and presenters at Alton Towers on May the 18th. Read more in this week's eRadio and online on the Radio Today website. Real Radio is broadcasting from Teesside this week, no doubt in an effort to find some disgruntled TFM listeners looking for an alternative. The irony, of course, is that Real Radio is also a regional radio station like the enlarged Metro and TFM from outside of the area, but maybe they're a little bit more open about it, so people might like it a little bit more. Who knows? Should you find yourself being made redundant from the BBC, you'll be entitled to a maximum of only £150,000 redundancy. I'm sure the news has upset the majority of journalists and reporters at BBC Radio across the country, in danger of not getting any more. And Global Radio has proved once again it has the biggest balls in London. The Summertime Ball has an amazing lineup with many industry leaders and managers tweeting about how impressed they are with the gig, which sold out within 2 hours of going on general sale last Friday. But you have to admit, it is pretty impressive. And why wouldn't it be, with Robbie Williams headlining and Justin Timberlake doing the hosting as well? It's just a shame that it clashes with my birthday barbecue. Otherwise, I'd be there. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Royston Martini.
The Radio Today programme.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
It's the Radio Today programme. Trevor Dan here at Absolute with Russ Williams, celebrating his 20th anniversary on the air. There's all sorts of stuff going on Absolute this week.
There is,
you're doing...
I'm flattered, actually.
There's a special... You're being interviewed by the OC.
Yes, I am.
On Sunday.
We've done it already because it's a tape programme, because it goes out on a bank holiday. And
program.
As much as I'm committed to this station, I'm going to have a day with my family.
Has someone complied it?
Well, I think somebody will be doing that now. Actually, it was really good because Paul Sylvester, our head of presentation, said, look, we'd like to do an interview with you. And Christian is really keen to do it and wants to do it, which was a thrill for me because I see him every day and we have a sort of acerbic relationship on the air most of the time because that's the nature of the beast. But, you know, he's a great guy. He's a very good broadcaster. And I was flattered that he wanted to interview me. And he asked me some very good questions. And there's a load of memories on there that we wouldn't have time to talk about now. That hopefully people who want to remember the old days and the current days, they can tune in Sunday night.
Well, I wanted to ask you about what it must be like being a kid trying to get into radio now.
Oh,
you know, there's a lot more people being taught,
yes,
and yet at the same time there are a lot fewer jobs. Now, you started... you went to the National Broadcasting School.
Yes, I did. I did.
How useful was that?
Brilliantly.
Can you remember what it was like?
Well, I was doing hospital radio in Eastbourne. I joined them when I was 11. They eventually let me on the air when I was about 14 or 15, and I used to do all the, you know, the Man Friday stuff. And I recorded a tape of myself, and Southern Sound in Brighton was starting up, and I recorded a news tape because I'd always quite liked journalism and what have you, and in fact I became one. And I sent off this tape to Rory McLeod, and out of the blue he phoned me up and sent me a letter and said, come and see us, you know, we got a job as a Man Friday, would you like to join the station? This is the first demo I'd ever sent out. I got a job, you know, and it's the only demo I've ever sent out. I mean, I've been very, very bloody lucky. And so I went there and started off one show a week and all that kind of stuff, and then just progressed as the years went by.
What was the National Broadcasting School in
those days? Well, he sent me there before we went on the air, which was in August of 1983.
Was it a real school with classrooms?
Oh, yes. It was run by the late, great Michael Bucht. Neil Spence was there. There was lots of other tutors from the industry who used to come in. I did the journalism course and the music course at the same time, which was greedy. Passed both of them, and in fact got from Michael Buck the Student of the Course Award, which was a book voucher, and I bought with the book voucher the history of Radio Luxembourg, which I've still got. So it was in the blood, you know, radio was in the blood for me, Trev, from when I was about six, and it was what I wanted to do, and I have been so lucky to have had the career that I've had, because it is now, I don't think, this sounds awful, but I hope people listening know what I mean. I don't think anyone will equal this again in commercial radio, because it's hard.
What really is difficult, I think, now is to study in the way that you could mentioning the names you just have with people who had done the job. You know, there are lots of university courses out there. I teach on one of them, but it's difficult if you're a student of 18, 19, 20 to actually mix with the kind of people who've been on the air themselves, I think.
I would love to pass on some of my experience and knowledge to people who wanted to get into the industry, both good and bad. And in fact, I thought about doing it. I spoke to a couple of people who kind of flirt around it, and I just never felt comfortable with the idea of being paid by people who, apart from the very cream of them, one or two, would stand any chance at all of getting into radio. To me, there was something a little bit dishonest about that. And so it's why I've never done it. But if a university came to me and said, would you come and talk to the students on the media course, I would absolutely love to do that. And I wouldn't charge them either. Well, maybe a train fare.
I've got that Adam Bowie coming to do one for me on Wednesday at the University of Lincoln.
He has been here for not quite as long as me, but I found an old picture of him when he had black hair and was slim. Well, I'll leave that to your imagination,
despite all that bicycling.
But to be serious, there is nowhere you can go, and there should be. Mm. I don't know if the Radio Academy should look at it, but commercial radio needs to nurture talent more so than the BBC, which is still a bastion of free plays, even though they've got horrendous cuts like we have. But the conglomeratization, if you like, of commercial radio, which I find a little disturbing, but I understand why it's being done, it does take away the creativity. And where are the future radio stars going to come from? And I think as an industry we have a responsibility to try and help people as much as we can.
Now, here's the thing. You got into the radio business because you wanted to be
a presenter
and you wanted to be on the air.
Yes.
And I'm imagining that you probably thought that your job was to put on a record and then speak and then play another record and then speak and then put on another
record. Those vinyl things.
Nowadays, you don't do that.
No.
And you often play two, three, in your no repeat guarantee.
Yes.
But you're not playing records, you're pressing a button.
Yes.
And you're
not touch screen.
Yeah, you're not speaking that often, actually, are you?
No. Half a dozen times an hour.
You don't seem to be, having to jock in the old-fashioned sense.
I think it's changed a little bit.
Do you miss that in any way?
Well, I do more of it, funnily enough, on classic rock, where I do 7 shows a week. How did they get that past me? The format of Absolute Radio is, during the workday, is to play lots of great music, and it's all about ratings, as you know. I think you can move and have a bit of personality within that. You can never get lazy. And, it doesn't matter whether you're imparting a bit of radio station information, whether you're talking about something you've done, whether you're enthusing about a bit of music. But there's only certain spots where you can do it. And the people who pay the checks ask me to do that. I'm very lucky, though, because I get an outlet like classic rock. I get to do loads of big interviews. And I get to host the Premier League football, which is, it's not a music show at all. It's all speech.
Well, I think we hear more of your personality now on the football show, actually.
Well, you're
not on your regular shows.
That would be fair. It was a conscious decision that I took. I mean, I love this building. And after 5 years of breakfast radio with Jono and Johnny Japes and having fun and what have you and just doing what we did, I decided that, I said to Christian years ago, the only way you come off a breakfast show is usually when you're told. And he's aware of that. And it happened to me and Jono when we were replaced by Chris Evans. And it happens to nearly every breakfast show host. So I think you have to try and reinvent what you're going to do. And Absolute Radio and Virgin Radio during the weekday have never really been, personality jock-led from breakfast onwards, really.
I mean, there's plenty of stations that don't even think they need disc jockeys at all anymore.
I think it's
apart from at breakfast.
I think it's quite now, possibly the
future.
I wonder
what you think of that as somebody who has made a career out of speaking on the radio in between records. I mean, are you being gradually, as a breed, made redundant, rather like we thought that drummers were when the drum machine arrived?
Exactly.
We thought,
no
point in being a drummer anymore. Yet now, of course, drummers are back, and nobody would dream of using a drum machine.
Well, voice tracking is the first stage in that, isn't it? You don't have to pay Fred Bloggs to sit down 3 hours a day and touch screens. He can come in an hour and a half and do 4 or 5 shows, and it's a lot cheaper.
It's mind-numbing work. Though,
well, it can be, and you know, I can't pretend that some days you think, "Oh my goodness me, I've got to do a three-hour show now, and what do I talk about?" But once you get into it, and if you like the records that you're playing, you know, the memories come and all that kind of stuff. And
but you're not hearing them if you're voice tracking.
No, you're not.
No.
But
I remember.
I actually tap my foot to the beat of the records because I hear them in my head. It's really weird, isn't it? That's what I do.
You're saying it.
Yeah. So, you know, to answer your question succinctly, I hope, you've got to be adaptable to survive, particularly in commercial radio. I mean, look at Neil Fox, you know, when he did the evening show at Capital, you know, a personality jock, the jukebox and what have you. Now on Magic, he's like a different guy, but he's adapting. And I think that that's really good.
So the football show,
yes,
Rock and Roll Football, really interesting idea,
yeah,
and one that I think a lot of us didn't think would work as well as it clearly does. It's
well,
really
very kind
down
of you.
It's found what it does, that it's absolutely not a Five Live listen or a Talk Sport listen. It's something very different from that, and it's a creative idea. It sounds like a lot of fun is being had
while it's going on,
unless Spurs are losing, of course.
Well, yeah. But they haven't lost much. They haven't won much.
Not enough
in the last
this
nine games.
From,
but
you know, from an Emirates perspective.
Oh, I see. They didn't tell me you were one of those. I would have refused to talk to you. No, it is great fun. And for me, I get to exercise a little bit of my journalism because I get to do the interviews and I get to sort of be the ringmaster in the build-up and what have you. Clearly, Jim Proudfoot is a fantastic commentator and football journalist. Perry Groves, I think, is an excellent pundit. He splits his time between us and Five Live, and I even heard him on Talk Sport the other day. But he's, you know, Perry's got something to say. And if you want to be a football pundit on the radio or the television, you have to be able to tell the viewers or the listeners something that they wouldn't have thought about. Otherwise, you shouldn't be there. And I believe that the people that we use as co-commentators, sort of Stuart Robson, Tony DiRigo, Clive Allen, they're all hugely experienced in football, and they do exactly that. And, you know, there's a bit of banter on the show, but when we're serious, we have to be serious. You know, we have to spend 15 minutes talking about Luis Suarez or John Terry and, you know, the racism stuff. So over the 3 years that we've been doing it, we've had some brilliant games, we've had some great fun, but we've also had to, from a credibility point of view, address the numerous issues that crop up in football over a season. And we all have our own opinions. That's a great thing. Righty, Jim and myself would never agree on anything, really.
Well, let me wish you the best of luck in the Europa Cup next season.
Thank you.
And
it's totally unnecessary.
Move swiftly on to the dark side. I wanted to ask you about television.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of very famous radio DJs. You mentioned Steve Reiter. Simon May is another one. Never really managed to translate their skills on the radio into television. I wondered how you have felt about that, because you've done some telly, haven't you?
Sport, yeah. I did a lot. Sky, I loved it. I did the first two seasons on Soccer AM, and then they moved me to host Football League. I did boxing. I used to do their sort of big award shows and what have you with Andy Gray. And I think I did 5 or 6 years there. And then I went to ITV Sport, where I was involved. I was a reporter and producer on the Premiership show with Des. I hosted Champions League for them. I did all of their boxing, which was on ITV2 with Steve Bunce. But on digital, was the end of me. You know, there was a lot of people who were asked to leave in the nicest possible way. Brian Barwick, who was my boss, remains to be a very good friend of mine. Mm. I see him socially quite regularly. And, you know, it's business. Business was business. And to be honest with you, sport television, I know I've done This Morning for a few days and what have you, when I was at ITV, but I was asked to do it. I thought, well, I'll give it a go. But entertainment television, it didn't really suit me. It was the sport that grabbed me, which is why I love doing the football on Absolute Radio, and why I'd like to probably long term perhaps go a more sporty route.
Interesting.
Not that I'm saying I'm going to leave here in the imminent future.
So, if I ask you what you're going to be doing in 20 years' time, that might be doing some sport radio.
Well, I hope I'll be on a beach drinking pina coladas with my missus, going out a really good run. And I've been retired 10 years. I don't know. Michael Cohen, who's my agent, he said to me, "You can do radio for as long as you want to. You know, you'll always get a job doing whatever you want to do." But that's the key, because I've been so lucky to have had the career and the opportunities, Trevor, that I've had, is that I would probably not pick and choose, but I'd be reasonably selective about what I did. But I'd certainly sport and, you know, maybe do more interviews and what have you.
Well, we wish you every success.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been the Radio Today programme in association with Audioboo. It's a TDC production by Jamie Taylor, and we'll be back next week with something we hope equally interesting.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.